From the Illinois State Fairgrounds in Springfield, this is the Closing Mark Report. It's the 12th day of August, 2008, Agriculture Day. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this hour from the fairgrounds, we'll talk all about those USDA reports this morning. When we saw them, you might have thought it'd been bearish for the corn market, but well, corn futures didn't bother to go down all day long. In fact, they were up 11 cents at the end of the afternoon. Soybean futures today, well, they did manage to rally just a bit for the afternoon, too. Up about 18 cents. We'll give you a complete look at those numbers momentarily. Later on in the program, we'll have some of the administration from the University of Illinois here to talk about the way this school deals with agriculture and what the mission of the land-grant institution has. It all happens on this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report. The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in AM 580's listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialist. More information is at AgriGold.com or at 800-262-7333. Here's the way the numbers finished on a Tuesday afternoon at the Chicago Board of Trade. In the wheat pit this afternoon, nearby September contract, 790 and a quarter, 3.5 cents lower today. December futures at 815 and a quarter, down 3 1/4. And the March contract, 3.5 cents lower at $8.39 and a half. Corn futures, September contract at 509, 11 and 3/4 higher for the day. December contract at 528 and a half, up 11 and a half. And the March futures, 11 cents higher at $5.47 and 3/4. May corn, $5.59, a dime higher for the day. August soybean futures this afternoon at 1220, 5 cents higher. September futures at 1207 and a half, up 18 cents. And the November contract, 18 higher on the day. January futures at 1231 and a half, up 18. You want to know where the November settled, don't you? $12.14, the settlement for the November beans. August bean meal futures for the day, $3.41.70, $9.20 higher. The August bean oil at $49.83, down 58 cents. August live cattle futures, $102.77 and a half, 47 and a half cents higher. The October futures up 62 and a half at $107.45 for the day. August feeder cattle finished at $115.15, 17 and a half higher. September's down 27 and a half cents at $116.45. Lean hog futures finished at $88.50 today, down $1.47 and a half. And the October lean hog futures at $75.85 were $1.35 lower for the afternoon. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a production of WILL Public Radio for the farming world. At the Illinois State Fairgrounds, I'm Todd Gleason. Here's what the outside markets look like for the afternoon. The numbers in the crude oil pit. Nearby September futures now at $114.15 are 30 cents lower a barrel. October contract at $113.25 a barrel, down $1.41. September ethanol futures, $2.10, 3 7/10 higher for the day. The natural gas trading September at $8.32 1/10. That's down 2 8/10. Natural gas, of course, the primary ingredient in the production of anhydrous ammonia. The RBOB gasoline, $2.84 9/10. That's 1 7/10 lower. And the heating oil, which is diesel fuel, $3.08 6/10. Down 3 3/10 for the afternoon. Propane futures at $1.71, 2 cents lower. And gold futures are trading at $808.20, down $13.30. The Dow Jones Industrial Average now stands at 11,691. That's down 92 points for the afternoon. And the CRB index stands at 384.69, down 0.44. U.S. dollar at 76.11. is down 0.12 for the afternoon. Here's what the forecast looks like for the two-state region, Illinois and Indiana. Tonight, mostly cloudy, scattered showers and thunderstorms. Those will be most numerous in the north. Lows will range from 52 in eastern Indiana to around 65 near Lake Michigan. Tomorrow, partly to mostly cloudy, a few showers and some thunderstorms, mainly in northern Illinois. Highs will range tomorrow from 77 in northwestern Illinois to 86 in the far south. The extended forecast calls for dry weather Thursday, which will be followed by a slow-moving weather system that could bring some heavy rain to some areas through the weekend. You're listening to the Closing Marker Report, coming to you today from the Illinois State Fairgrounds in Springfield, where it's Agriculture Day. Joining us on stage from the Illinois Farm Bureau stage in the Commodities Pavilion across from the grandstand is the Senior Grains Analyst for AgriVisor, Dale Durkles. Good afternoon to you, Dale.
Good afternoon, Todd. I guess I'm senior. My gray beard proves it, right?
Yeah, gray beard makes you senior, but you're a good analyst. So let's talk about some of these numbers that came out from the Chicago Board of Trade, from the United States Department of Agriculture this morning. A crop production number set up, and also they updated the acreage figures. Can you go through them very quickly?
Well, you know, the basic benchline, when you looked at the production numbers from the USDA, both in the corn and the soybeans, I don't think you really had any great shocks there. You know, 12.2 billion, 155 bushel yield. A lot of the people in the trade for the report were thinking around 152, but quietly people were talking about a corn yield that would be 154, 155. So I don't think there was a surprise there at all. A little bit of a shock that that's what the USDA said, but when you understand their methodology, it wasn't really a shock. The bean number coming in at just under 3 billion bushel, yield down at 40.7 or maybe 40.8. A little bit lower than what some people expected, but in part counterbalanced because beans actually bumped their harvested acreage number by a million acres. So, you know, we had a little bit of a balance there, but again, no real huge surprises in beans. Numbers as a whole may be a little friendly. Corn numbers may be a little negative. But when there wasn't any shock in it, I think that's what gave rise to the kind of market we had today.
The national average soybean yield at 40.5. When we started the morning, the pre-trade estimates were looking at corn down 10 cents, bean a bit higher. But have we just simply lost enough in the corn market at this point that it really didn't make any difference? We're off $3 from the high.
You know, I think when you look at the market action we had today, you really come to grips with the fact, especially when you consider that we didn't have any huge, big shocks in the numbers today, that everybody took a look, and at the end of the day, they looked around and went, you know, we've probably pressed this down enough. We've probably already built in the kind of scenario we have here today. And when you look at the bottom line, when you go back to the S&Ds, when you look at a corn carryout at the end of the year, we're talking about something just over 1.1 billion bushel, and that's going to be down from what we're thinking is going to be at just about 1.6 billion this year. And when we look at a bean carryout at 135 million, you got to be kind of careful here in that, you know, you don't have numbers, even with the crop number a little bigger than you thought, that really is what I'll call fundamentally negative. And yeah, you might say that a billion carryout and $5 corn, how does that mix? But when you look at $5 corn, you have to look at $5 corn against what? $850 gold. You have to look at it against $113 crude. So corn in itself, when you look at it as a relative sense, is not high price compared to anything, and I'd argue a little bit cheap. Not a lot, but a little bit.
Well, let's talk about some of the numbers in depth as they came out, because we raised total yield on corn something like half a billion bushels, 500 million or thereabouts,
right.
But our carryout for next year didn't raise nearly that much, so we must be using more corn someplace. Where did USDA say that was?
Well, they bumped up their ethanol demand by 150 million bushel. They also raised their feed and residual by another 100 million bushel, and I'd argue, looking at some of the data and some of the models that specifically are designed to try to estimate what kind of feed and residual use we're going to have, we may still be a little bit on the light side there. Then you couple that back with the fact that bringing corn back to $5, ethanol is profitable again. We can look at the livestock industry and the kind of prices there. Even though I don't like to pay this kind of money for feed, it's certainly a lot better than it was. And when you look at some of the futures out in the distance in hogs and cattle, you can start to build in equations that say, okay, I can make some money here. So you basically brought things back down to where you're seeing some demand start to resurface again. And I think that's going to be true in the world as well as here in the U.S., because there's a lot of things that look like in the world that's just kind of been latently waiting for these numbers to come out to see where we were going to start at, to give people some kind of a benchmark on what kind of supplies we were going to have here. And then they could start to look at their buying program as we go into the next number of months.
Well, the price of commodities has gotten so high that many thought that usage was backing off substantially. Of course, the numbers don't pan out like that for the coming year in corn at this point. Is usage big enough for corn? Is there more left, for instance, in the ethanol side that USDA missed?
I don't You know, there may be a little bit more left. You know, that's going to be hard to really say at this point, because we were in a period after we went up to $8 back in June. You know, we really put some strain in the ethanol business. We were really threatening some things in the livestock business, but we didn't stay long enough to really kick in any severe changes in those operations other than things from a very short-term perspective. So now we've brought them back down to a point where you can say, I can make a little money, but then you add on to the mix here the CRP announcement that said we're not going to bring any land into production out of the CRP program other than the 1 million acres that's coming out in September. So you start looking ahead on to the 2009-10 crop year, as well as looking at what's going to happen in 2008-09. So again, it's this long-term demand game that continues to play a background factor in terms of all commodity prices.
Dale, can you stick around a bit?
Sure.
We haven't really talked about what you think where the markets are headed, and we probably ought to do that, but we'll do that in just a bit. Dale Durkles is the Senior Grains Analyst at AgriVisor LLC. It's out of Bloomington. He will join us again to talk about the commodity markets in just a bit. Agricultural programming, by the way, is made possible by Stuart Peterson. For over 20 years, Stuart Peterson has offered farmers and ranchers a strategic consulting approach to manage both marketing opportunities and risk, utilizing the latest technology. Stuart Peterson, confiding confidence all over the place. More information available at stuartpeterson-.com. We're coming to you live today from the Illinois State Fairgrounds, right here in Springfield, where it's Agriculture Day. On stage with us at this time is the Chancellor of the University of Illinois, and he's based in Urbana-Champaign, Richard Herman. Join us to tell a little bit about the land grant mission. You know, Chancellor, each and every time I start this program when we're on campus, I start by saying, from the land grant university in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois. And I'm not sure that all of the folks that are listening know exactly what the land grants are and what their mission is and how they started. Can you bring us up to date?
Well, I can bring you up to date by starting in 1862 when the act was signed, of course. The Great Morrill Act, which we know started with Turner right here in the state of Illinois, but politics are what they are. So this became the Morrill Act, and each state was afforded a certain amount of land. And the original link was to promote the agricultural and mechanical arts.
And this is the reason some of the land grants, for instance, Texas A&M.
Right.
Is Texas A&M. It's agriculture
we,
and mechanics.
We have a graduate here of Texas A&M.
We do.
A&M.
Bob Easter is here. Please welcome these two gentlemen to the stage, by the way. Give them a round of applause. Bob Easter is here. He is the Dean of the College of Agricultural, Consumer, and Environmental Sciences. And, Bob, you managed to be the dean of the college, and this is a legacy from the Lincoln era. President Lincoln, we're in the home of President Lincoln. He was one who brought the Morrill Act into place, put the land grants into place across the entire U.S. What is the kind of research that happens in your college now going to be doing for producers and consumers in the future? This is one of the things. One of the missions to begin with was to teach, and continues to be to teach, the citizens of the state of Illinois in higher education, but of course research and outreach is a primary mission as well.
You know, teaching and extension ultimately begin with research, because it's new information that drives education. And the land grant mission has as part of its responsibility research that's applicable to the needs of the state. So clearly, part of what we do in our research enterprise, the university or the Illinois Agricultural Experiment Station, is to support and do research by our faculty that is directly applicable to the state. But very often, those very practical problems require fundamental discoveries in order to make progress. So a college like ours is a blend of both very applied research directly to the farm and other enterprises, and then back to the laboratory in a very basic fundamental way to understand how things work so we can discover things that will take through to application in agriculture.
Let me just add one word to that. Basically, our mission is the public good, and that comes through the kind of work that Bob described. So, for instance, right now we're doing alternative energy, which is something new for us, but it started in the College of ACES, and it actually is a giant cross-disciplinary effort. And universities are being asked to be more and more attentive to the public good. And the land grant mission really embodies that.
And this would be these are first and second generation energy development. A lot of that development would be coming from the crops that producers are already using, potentially maybe planting in the future. How many of the researchers on campus in the college are involved in energy, alternative energy development?
We probably began looking at energy 20 years ago, particularly focused on corn and producing ethanol from corn, and starting with a material that's readily available. Today, we have about 45 of our faculty that have some part of their program directed at fuels. It may be markets, it may be production of a crop, it may be conversion of that plant material into a fuel or something that relates to policies and the social impacts that come when you change fuels. But clearly, that's part of the portfolio to try to use the capacity of a university to solve these problems.
We know that agriculture is a global economy. Dean Easter, you're funding the College of ACES to be globally preeminent and locally relevant. What does that mean? And maybe we could take it up, Chancellor, to the university level.
Well, I think one of the things that we is part of our future and part of our past is to have a large influence throughout the world. And I think that partly comes out of agriculture, it comes out of engineering, it comes out of many colleges on the campus. Certainly the energy works involving chemistry. But if we forget, as we seek to lead the world in many areas, we need to pay attention to our own backyard. And that's whether it's Champaign-Urbana or the state of Illinois. And we're very proud to be the public land grant, the flagship institution of this state.
Thank you very much. Chancellor Herman Dean Easter from the University of Illinois, the College of Agricultural, Consumer, and Environmental Sciences. Give them a big round of applause. Agricultural programming is made possible by Risk Management Commodities, with offices in Chalmers and Lafayette, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois. Risk Management Commodities provides commodities analysis and recommendations for businesses and agriculture throughout East Central Illinois and Western Indiana. 866-837-9027. Dale Lass. I'm so used to working with folks in the college
that's okay.
Aces that sometimes...
You can call me Dartboard. That's what Al called me earlier.
Yeah, that's nothing. Now, I traveled with Dean Easter to India last year in March, and sometimes you get dragged into things, and we had sat down. We were in Pontnagar, which is a university that the College of Aces had a great deal of influence putting together in the 1960s, when India was suffering through some problems, as all Asia was,
right.
Starvation and potential starvation. And they managed to be part of the Green Revolution, but India decided to put a land-grant institution together, and Illinois was part of trying to make Pontnagar work. And so I had been with the dean all day, and they wanted me as the communication specialist to come in and see their television studios. And finally I agreed, and I sat down with them in their television studios, and they said, "Well, why don't you get in front of the cameras and say something?" And I'm thinking, what am I going to say? I don't know. So eventually, as I started to talk with my immediate boss about the role of communications in a land grant institution, the dean, they had ushered the dean in from wherever he was, and he sat down. Well, now I have talked to many deans over the years, and more than one by the first name of Bob. And so I did an interview with Dean Easter, and I got done, and I looked right at the camera, and I said, "And that's the Dean of the College of Agricultural, Consumer, and Environmental Sciences, Bob Thompson." Now, Bob Thompson, as you know, now is an ag economist at the University of Illinois.
Yep.
But at the time, prior to that, he was the Dean of the Agricultural School at Purdue. And so I had spent a lot of time talking with Bob Thompson, and
The
dean didn't fire me, which was a good note.
That's the wonders of radio, you know. You just don't skip a beat and you keep on going.
Well, you don't skip a beat and you keep on going. Speaking of keeping on going, maybe we better talk about where you think futures markets are headed and whether there are opportunities at this point. And it's hard to say that $5 corn is low, but are there opportunities at this point that farmers missed the last time we were at $5 to manage the risk potential to the upside of the market? So the question really is, should they look at buying call options for corn and beans at some time?
I don't know that that's a bad strategy at this point in time, you know, reaching out and trying to buy some call options against something you've already sold at this juncture. But the big thing I think people need to be aware of is that we probably aren't going to have any huge move to the upside between now and when we get into harvest, because no matter which way you cut the cake, a 12.2 billion bushel crop, we're probably not a lot different than that, barring any kind of unusual early frost, and nobody's really talking about that at this point. So you got a market. Yeah, we're going to find enough buying come into the fray at this point, probably give us a bottom. We'll probably get a rally. I think we could go and take December corn back up into the 550, maybe even 580 range. I don't think a lot more than that, though, prior to harvest, and then we'll probably set back for a harvest low, and the next 10-week low would be due about roughly the end of October.
Would you sell your corn across the scale or store it?
I'm inclined to want to store it. I think there's going to be opportunities and gains once we get through the harvest itself, where we're going to see futures markets start to get energized again. When you look at this whole game of acreage for the 09 crop, I think we got to play that acreage battle once more. Maybe not to the degree we played it this year, but we're still going to play a competing acreage battle. And so that's going to give us lift. We're going to see our supplies tighten up a little bit, going from $1.6 billion down to roughly $1.1 billion in carryout. So basis ought to get a little bit better. At some point, though, in the winter, it may pay to put on some kind of a hedge against crops that you have in storage, and basically then from there on out play a merchandising game.
Let's deal with the limited amount of storage on farm storage. Which would you prefer to would you prefer to store corn on farm or soybeans on farm?
I would prefer to store soybeans versus corn. You know, when you look at the rolling thing and you go back, and I talk a lot about what happened in the early 70s. In 73, we had beans top out in June. February 74, we had wheat top out. Corn didn't top out, though, until October. Maybe it was September of 1974 in the midst of the frost game at that point. This time around, we've had wheat top out this last winter. I think the $8 mark in corn, I think I can safely say at this point, barring something really unusual happening, probably will be some kind of a top we're going to work with for the next few years. But I don't know that we've had that last one top out yet. And when you look at the S&Ds for soybeans, the supply demand's 135 million carryout. Really isn't any comfort margin. And basically, we still don't know a lot about what's going on in South America. And you know, if we get any kind of a little hiccup in South America, beans can take off and run. So I'd rather be a store of beans versus corn.
I heard you tell Alan Duran this morning of the RFD Network that you are now a crude oil analyst. Should you be a dollar analyst instead?
I take one. They're reverse of each other. Basically, when you step back from the fray, and I don't know a lot about the fundamentals of crude to really speak to that, but I do know in crude oil, we're in a window here where we're due for a semi-annual low in oil prices and also a semi-annual cycle low in terms of commodity indices. So I think we're at about some kind of low, and we're going to see these markets start to percolate too, and that'll give some lift to the grains if it happens.
Dale, thank you much for joining us.
Good being
us today.
Here.
Dale Dirkles is the senior grains analyst at AgriVisor, based in Bloomington, Illinois. You've been listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a production of WILL in Urbana-Champaign. We'll be back in just 2 minutes.
With this look at AM 580 News, I'm Tom Rogers. Champaign-Urbana's airport is seeing the same sort of problems that airports and airlines around the nation are seeing, fewer flights and lower passenger loads. But the manager of Willard Airport doesn't expect severe problems for his facility. Steve Wanzik says there are currently no plans to curtail more flights after American Eagle recently announced it was cutting two daily flights from Willard to O'Hare. Wanzik says American and other airlines are reducing their fleets and capacity in the wake of record high oil prices, but he says the airport has a valuable customer base, mainly among area businesses. Champaign School District has a new plan in place to deal with high truancy numbers. The previous year's attendance numbers showed they were the same or improved for elementary and middle schools, but dropped to below 90% for many high school students, including African Americans. Next month, volunteers will begin promoting the anti-truancy program door-to-door. Three museums in Chicago are joining a group of historic sites around the country and overseas to start what they call a conversation on immigration. The parks and museums are taking part in a two-year pilot program. A spokeswoman says the goal is to use historic places to connect to contemporary issues. She says museums and parks can add context to the immigration debate. In Chicago, Jane Addams Hull House, the Cambodian American Heritage Museum, and the Field Museum are taking part. The mayors of Lafayette and West Lafayette, Indiana, say they'll ask state lawmakers to allow the use of cameras to catch motorists who run red lights. Attorney General Steve Carter issued an opinion last week saying the legislature must create a law before municipalities can use the cameras to catch drivers who run lights. Both Lafayette and West Lafayette have installed cameras at intersections, but they've only been used to see how many drivers run lights. It's approaching move-in time for U of I students, and Champaign City officials say they'll watch out for ordinance violations. An official says crews are looking for overflowing dumpsters and loose garbage, and they're asking anybody with old furniture or other usable items, reusable items, to consider donating them to the University YMCA. I'm Tom Rogers, AM 580 News.
Field at the Illinois State Fairgrounds, broadcasting from the Commodities Pavilion and the Illinois Farm Bureau stage. I'm Todd Gleason. This is the Closing Market Report. Our thanks to everybody who's been in the audience this afternoon for staying with us today. In a moment, we'll talk with Mike Lloyd, who's with Farm Credit Services. I do want to remind you that agricultural programs are made possible by First Midwest Bank, serving Illinois' agricultural community. With locations in Champaign, Danville, Galesburg, Morris, and McHenry. More information available from Bob Bastever in Danville at 217-477-6016. First Midwest Bank, member FDIC, and equal housing lender. On stage with us here in Springfield this afternoon, Mike Lloyd, with Farm Credit Services of Illinois. I guess I should have been watching just exactly where I was putting my underwrites this afternoon, shouldn't I? Farm Credit Services is a longtime supporter of the agricultural programming on WILL Radio, and we do appreciate you doing that as well.
Appreciate being here.
Well, tell me about credit and how that has been challenging for you and Farm Credit Services in the last year.
Last year, I think, has been a challenge for just about anybody that's been in the agriculture industry, whether it be looking at commodities or input costs, and more predominantly just the weather we had this spring. And, you know, a lot of us were late getting the crops in, and then we had the torrential rains on and on and on. And then dealing with the amount of water we've had coming in, you know, down to 72, there's still some ponds out there, still some water standing along that Champaign-Pike County line that's first time I can remember seeing water staying there for a long, long time. So it's been a challenge for all around.
Is it harder from your point of view to manage the really high commodity prices, the record high commodity prices, and we're still in those historic levels, but mm-hmm. the really high commodity prices from a credit standpoint or lower prices at these levels?
Well, they're all factors you have to look at and figure in when you know, when you're looking at financing. Those are all things that plays a part. You know, we really don't look at the commodity prices on a daily basis, although they are factored in when we look at repayment capacity and what an operating capital would be on a loan.
Well, let me ask you one final question. We have about a minute and 15 seconds. It appears that farmers are going to need to take on more risks than they have in the past with the volatility in the market, so that when they take a position in the marketplace or they sell corn to an elevator, that they may not be able to sell that corn, and they're going to have to take the position in the marketplace. Is that going to create much of a problem for the credit system?
I don't think it's going to create much of a problem at this point. We have to look a little further down the road. It's all going to play a factor, especially when we look at what we're looking at as far as operating capital and going forward into years down up. Immediately, right now, not.
Mike, we appreciate you being with us.
Appreciate the opportunity.
Mike Lloyd is with Farm Credit Services of Illinois, and this is the Closing Market Report. We've been coming to you from the Commodities Pavilion on the Illinois State Fairgrounds in Springfield. You have a good afternoon. I'm Todd Gleason.